Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. 1 hour from now, 9 o'clock, Brad Spielberger will join us from Pro Football Focus to talk about this game, this matchup, Reed versus the Eagles, and how the Eagles slow down the great Patrick Mahomes. That's coming up here in a little bit. But before we get back to the lines, I'm really curious where you come down on this. Are you ready right now to consider the Eagles an all-time great NFL team, to put them in that mix with the best teams of all time? I am. I look at it and I say, at 16-1 with Jalen Hurts, they've been nearly perfect with their starting quarterback. They just blew the doors off of two teams in the postseason. Most sacks ever entering a Super Bowl. 9 wins against other winning teams. I mean, it's a kind of profile of a team that is rare, and I think it's all time great. We'll talk about that, but we got to throw these two things in there because, you know, I mean, once in a while, you got to call out dopes, even if you like dopes. I mean, that's we do that at WIP all the time. We work with dopes. We call them out. It's okay. I mean, it's okay to call out a dope when you see one. So all the voices you hear have been guests on this show. I like them all. They all seem like nice guys. One I actually know, the two have just been guests, and we got to know each other on the air. But what do you think we should play first, the San Francisco guys or our New York friend?
I don't know. I mean, the San Francisco guys seem more upset than the New York.
Maybe we are. Maybe we end with some levity after the San Francisco guys. Sorry. So Joe Shasky and Bonta Hill, both have been guests of the show. We had Joe on last week. They came to Philadelphia and wanted to experience Philadelphia and watch the game on Sunday. They came in. I was watching their videos over the weekend. They were enjoying themselves. They were going to get cheesesteaks. They were going around the town. And then the game happened. It was obviously a tough time for them. And they clearly didn't like the experience. Again, they wore their jerseys. They wore their gear into the stadium. And they heard it. Here were Joe and Bonta this morning, 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco, complaining about the treatment here.
We're out here in Philadelphia live, and we've got our Niners gear on. And I got to say, these little fake gangsters out here in Philadelphia, I can't stand them. It is by far the worst fan base in the world. Not even close. Hands down, the smugness around this studio.
Unbelievable.
Here at 2400 Market Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And all these little losers out here, fans, fake gangsters. Philadelphia is now number one on my hit list.
They're
number one.
That.
They've catapulted the Seahawks. They've catapulted the Cowboys. They've catapulted the Raiders, the Rams. You name it, the Packers. The Philadelphia Eagles are public enemy number one for the rest of my life.
All right, let's put that to the side because we're going to talk about that for the next 25 years of my radio broadcasting career. I will never forget some of the vile, heinous, lowlife stuff that I saw. Eagle fans are the biggest scumbag lowlifes I've ever met in my entire life.
They're fake gangsters. It's not only just the guys. It's the women. The women may be worse.
You put out a video yesterday because we had videos. I had to put the phone in my pocket because we literally had our head on a swivel. Things were being thrown, dumped, poured. It was disgusting. And I'm being real. Our fan base showed so much pride.
Yes.
I am so proud of Niner fans. I don't want to hear a damn thing about Niner fans not being hardcore, diehard, real good, loyal, classy fans.
No, you know, a couple of these people were talking and I would turn around and they'd be like, hey, man, it's just a game. It's just a game. So you're a little punk. You want to call people the P word and you want to call them the F word.
We were going to the bathroom. You like jumped in front of me. Guy elbows me and he just spits on me. I'm like, you got to be. I looked at him like, come on, man.
Dude,
man.
It was embarrassing.
These
little people around here, WIP, talking their trash.
Well,
before WIP, little smug. Well, that's just how it is out here. They're the lowest of the lowest. They're the losers. You suck. Shut up. Get the hell out of here.
I wonder, who do we know who that was at the end? Because I think they were doing their show here Monday before they flew back. That was someone here at the end yelling at them. Here's the bottom line. I don't condone spitting on anyone or you know, pouring a beer on someone's head. But like, what do you expect? Like, they came here. They wore their jerseys. I almost called it uniforms, which was kind of silly if they're wearing pads. They wore their jerseys. They're cheering for their team. You're going to get screamed at. And I mean, can we stop being so sensitive about words? Like, let's take a deep breath here. As long as there weren't slurs. I mean, just take a deep breath on all that. So they're out there, or I guess they were here, complaining the other morning. I mean, what did they expect is my thing.
I thought it was weird they kept calling us fake gangsters and then added us to a hit list, which is something that a fake gangster would very much do. This isn't the first time this has happened, where an opposing fan base comes here and says, well, there's no way it'll be bad. We're tougher than you guys. And then they show up, they see what actually happens, and then they leave and go, it's not fair, they're too mean. I mean, I lost all respect for Vikings fans about 5 years ago, and unfortunately, I felt the same for Niners fans.
You just don't complain about it. Like, if you enter the arena, you're going to have to expect what happens.
It wasn't a surprise. Like, you knew this was going to happen.
Again, I don't condone spitting on anyone. That person's an idiot that did that. I don't care who they root for. But, like, yelling and screaming and, like, that, yeah, being called bad words. How old are we here? Like, I think you have to expect that when you go into a road environment for an NFC Championship game. So those guys got to get over it. So that was that. Now we get some levity here. Now, this guy is a dope. I say this affectionately because I know him. Sean Morash, he's been a guest of the show. He works at CBS Sports Radio and WFAN up in New York. Listen to this rant this guy goes on today. So he's upset, I guess, or he thinks we're frauds because, you know, the videos went kind of viral of everyone celebrating. You know, people in the streets here in Philadelphia celebrating on Sunday night, which, you know what? I have no, like, it doesn't bother me at all that anyone's out celebrating a big Eagles win. Now, like, I'm not at the point in my life where I'm not going out and celebrating in the streets. I'm old. I have kids. Like, I turned on the next game when the Eagles were done, and I sat on my couch. Like, that's me. But, like, if you celebrated and you went to the game and then you went out and celebrated throughout the city, great. I mean, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl for only a fourth time ever. But that obviously bothered this Giants fan, Sean Morash, up in New York.
This week we learned they are the biggest fraud football fan base in the world. Come on, think about this. You win an NFC Championship game when you won a Super Bowl 5 years ago, and you're just going to take to the streets, slide down poles with Crisco, crash bus stops, high-five strangers in the street all night, and miss Burrow versus Mahomes? If you care that much about football, you watch Burrow versus Mahomes and see who you're going to play in the Super Bowl. I'm so tired. They're fake tough guys. All they care about is looking cool on TikTok and being all tough. They don't actually care about football, or you wouldn't miss Burrow versus Mahomes. Bunch of fraud losers. Hope they get their ass kicked next Sunday.
So I'm not on TikTok. I don't know who looks tough in there, who doesn't. But, like, he has to realize most of those people doing that, I'd imagine, are in their, like, early 20s. Like, that's what people do. And they celebrate.
Yeah, and also he seemed really mad that we didn't watch Burrow versus Mahomes. That game didn't live up to the hype. That wasn't two sharp shooters going back and forth. It was close. It was one on the last second field goal, but I sat there, I watched that game. I don't feel like if I had missed it, I would have missed one of the greatest games we've ever seen.
Also, you could have went home and still watched the end. I mean, what time did Burrow Mahomes end? 10 o'clock?
Yeah, and also, like, we have 2 weeks. You want to watch who you're going to play in the Super Bowl? You got 2 weeks. NFL Network's been replaying it every 4 hours.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of bitter people out there.
I think they're just jealous.
Well, that's it. They're upset that they're – I mean, the people we just played for you – they are fans of the two teams the Eagles knocked out. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. They are bitter. They are jealous. I mean, guys, just relax. Get over it. You can watch Burrow Mahomes, like Tucker said, on NFL Network. I saw it today when I walked in the studio. Ike was walking out, and I was walking in. There's Burrow on the TV from Sunday night. It's on all the time. And the other dopes, like, if you're going to go into a road stadium wearing your colors, you're going to get stuff said to you. Just deal with it. Or don't come. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones here. Let's talk to Matt in Pottstown. Hey, Matt.
Hey, please, Joe, and guys, allow me just 1 minute to address the two things you guys just hit before I go off on what my real call is for, which I wanted to be so positive. But after hearing those two of the fakest guys with fake radio voices, I got to listen. Who listens to that all day out there? These two got the – I mean, they're going to argue about us and the fan base here when you're out there in Candlestick and Raider fans getting shanked in the lobby. Are you kidding me? Talk about fake. You know who keeps calling people fake tough guys? Guys that really are fake tough guys. Tough guys don't say nothing. But these guys want to have a perception and try to put out a national perception about the Philadelphia fan base when they don't have a clue. The last guy that you played, I will agree with him on one thing. You do have most of those people out there in the street who don't know a first down from a foul shot. They're out there just for the party atmosphere, and I get that. But you can't hold that umbrella over this entire fan base. People like me and so many others that are so happy and are reveling in the way that our season is going. When you paint that brush, you, my friend, are fake, and you don't even you're just full of jealousy and hate, like you just said.
Yeah, it's dopey. No, I'm glad you said it. It's dopey, and you're right. Like, and there's different people, right? Like that the scene of people out there celebrating. Like I said, like they're probably younger people. Like I wasn't out there. I'm at home, but like I don't care that people are celebrating.
Both.
Go for it.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm watching it. You know what? That's their thing. So what? It's not a great look, but you know what? It could be worse. Now, before I get to my point, because I got to get to this, because I tried to hit you up over the weekend right after it happened, but your guy earlier, Chuck, go have another sip and go numb with the rest of your body. Anybody who sits here and talks about schedule and who we played and how bad they were and all this, if I can borrow it from the king, you're a stone-cold dope. This isn't high school. It's not college. The Eagles have absolutely nothing to do with their schedule. That is dictated by the league. You play with who's in front of you. So if we beat every team, that's great. What do you say? It's just such an idiot argument. I hate it. It drives me up a wall. I want to be done with that negative because I want to get real positive now.
Go for it.
This almost around this time last week, Joe, I know you take hundreds of phone calls, but do you remember I call you because I committed to your slot, and when you moved to the afternoon, I took my talents to you from the afternoon show. I said that a couple months ago. I called it. I said, who is the Niners' backup quarterback? And you looked it up, and one of you guys go, I think it's journeyman Josh Johnson. I said, he is going to be a factor in that game. He's going to get in because just the way they do off of play action, the pressure that we put on, I said, he is going to stand in that pocket like a stooge and take some hits. I called it. My prediction was 31-17. The Niners couldn't even put up that extra 10 for me. But it was exactly as I played it, as I called it out. It was right there in front of me. I could see it. I don't agree with you that I think the Eagles are in the past to be one of the greatest, the greatest teams and franchises ever. We're not there yet. We're having one of the greatest seasons in free agency history. Like, I'll go there. Yes, we are definitely having one of the all-time great seasons. But I don't think we're up there in that upper-tier echelon yet of some of those great teams. Going into the Super Bowl, again, I don't see it being an easy run. I think it is going to be a very competitive game. But I do think the Eagles are going to come out on top because of just some certain things. And it's not green goggles. I think this is a legitimate football facts. I think we're going to get good pressure on Mahomes. He's going to take hits like he's never taken all season long. He is going to do what he does because he's an amazing quarterback. He does not have the receivers that he's had in the past going into games like this. I think we have the talented people to do some things to Travis Kelce that other teams couldn't do. So I think we're going to lock him up a little bit. And the Chiefs have no running game of any respectful kind whatsoever. Conversely, I think we are going to pound the ball like old school grind down football. We are going to run the ball down their throats until they scream no mas. And then at the same time, we're going to be dinking and dunking to A.J. Brown and hitting Dallas Goedert. I think offensively, I'm not saying we're putting up a ton of points, but I think we are going to control the clock and control the game. And last thing, when you talk about franchise and the greatness, I think something that gets overlooked about Howie, and I've been hard on Howie over the years as well, you have to take into the account the dead years of Charles Kelly. He decimated this franchise. And when Howie came out of the broom closet and was able to get back to his job, he basically took this from the barroom bottom floor and built us back up. So not only has he been a great GM for us over the last 30 years, he actually, in my mind, he's done it twice because he literally had to reestablish us from the Charles Kelly era.
Well, he did. And Matt, good call. I appreciate it a lot there. I mean, the best way I could just give Howie his props is I believe he's going to the Hall of Fame one day. I mean, I think Howie Roseman will be a Hall of Fame executive for the work he's done here with the Eagles. As far as, the way this game expresses itself and if they run the ball, I think the Eagles can move the ball either way. I mean, I don't think they're going to have trouble moving the ball on the Chiefs the way they did on the Niners. I mean, that was a different kind of game. It was the Niners' defense is great. We knew that last week. And I did remember Matt's call. And it's funny. I didn't think of it when it happened, but now that he said it, I was like, oh, yeah, he called it, that Josh Johnson would get in that game.
I thought about it because when Josh Johnson came in, I remember looking up Josh Johnson's stats earlier in the week.
Yeah, so, you know, you think about, I mean, I realized during that game, there's a line for every team and a line for every coach. The Niners reached the line. Like, they won 13 games and then a playoff game, two playoff games, on three quarterbacks. Do we call it the Brock Purdy line or is it the Josh Johnson line? You can only do so much, like, until this line.
I think it's the Josh Johnson line.
Yeah.
You're like, fine until he comes in the game.
Yeah, and it's not his fault. I mean, how many teams could ever have four quarterbacks that could play? I mean, that's just no way. It doesn't happen. I do wonder if the NFL is going to change the rule, though, the emergency third quarterback rule. Like, to suit up another quarterback?
I think so. Like, I thought it was interesting after the game, everyone talked about it was the worst game they've ever seen. It was boring, and if you were an objective person, yeah. it was. It was a terrible game,
right.
But the Eagles don't care. Right? Nick Sirianni and Hassan Reddick and Jonathan Gannon, they don't care that they had to play a four-string quarterback. They don't care that they destroyed the 49ers offense and their offensive line throughout the game. They're dominating. They did their job.
Yeah, and if the NFL changed the rule, I mean, go for it. But the bottom line is the Eagles took advantage of a situation they created. I mean, they knocked Purdy out of the game. Like, he didn't fall down a flight of steps and buckle his knee. Like, they took him out. So good on them. It was their pass rush. Mike is the next. And hey, Mike.
Joey, how are we?
Mike, I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm comfortable, but I want to point out a couple things. Play with me. I know nobody cares, but a couple of the late-night comedians went after Philadelphia last night. The tourism viewers isn't happy. We don't care, but they did. And they were right. It was the pole and the bus.
Who was it? Do you remember names? Name names here, Mike.
Colbert, Kimmel.
Okay. If I had a guess, I was going to guess those two.
They're good.
Come on.
Yeah,
no, they are good, of course.
Come on. And secondly, Joey, here we are. I am, as you know, I call you from my bed. I'm snuggled up today in my Flyer 75 pajamas. I took my mother to the doctor today. And please, Joe, I hope the Eagles win so we can get new clothing.
So what do you want? You want Chiefs Super Bowl clothing, Eagles clothing? What do you want?
Just updated, Joe. Come on. When did the Eagles win? 2017?
Yes.
Come on. We gotta update.
The NFC title stuff, is that now? Or are you someone that waits for the Super Bowl? Or will you go shopping this week? That's the question.
No. I'm not one of those. We won the division thing. None of that crap.
But NFC is not a division. I mean, that's a pretty big thing.
Joey, I'm with you, but I'm okay. And finally, Joe, I have to say this. I tried to get in last night. There was Utley. There was Kelsey. I don't care how Al Petey sang, but when I was watching the platform the other night when Hurts sang, I went crazy.
Wasn't that an awesome moment, Mike?
It was screw Utley. He just cursed. But Kelsey, we all know Kelsey. I went crazy, Joe. I loved it so much.
It was, you know what it was? And Mike, I always appreciate the phone call. And I hope you get brand new clothes, sweatshirt, t-shirt, all that in a couple of weeks. There was something very real about it. I said it last night when we played it. We'll play it again here in a second. Like, it almost was like singing happy birthday with your family. Or just like, people are off key. Most people can't sing. You have to be comfortable to sing in front of people. And usually you don't do it unless it's people you're very comfortable with. Like, it felt to me like the moment where Jalen Hurts finally realized that everyone here wants him to be the quarterback. Like, he's fully accepted here now. He let his guard down. Here it was. I wouldn't call it the most stellar rendition of music I've ever heard, but it was really cool. Hurts singing the fight song.
Fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory. Fly, Eagles, fly, score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit them low, hit them high, and watch those Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory.
All right. Like, he was laughing and having a good time. That's why he kind of trailed off at the end. If you hadn't seen that and we just played it, you would think he collapsed or something. He just stopped singing.
Yeah, and that probably was for the best because the quality improved once he stopped.
Yeah, it did. It was fun though. That was a good moment for Jalen Hurts. Mark is in Woodbury Heights. Hey, Mark.
How you doing, Joe?
Good, Mark. What's on your mind tonight? What are you thinking?
Joe, you know, I'm an NFL historian. Are you aware of that?
I feel that. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, and I ranked all 56 Super Bowl winners. And I'm going to tell you this. If the Eagles convincingly beat the Chiefs in 2 weeks, I think they can fall between 10 and maybe 7 all time.
Well, that to me would qualify in what I'm thinking and talking about. That puts them in a very upper echelon kind of class here.
I'm going to just tell you my top 5.
I want to hear them. Go ahead.
78 Steelers who won Super Bowl 13, 11 Hall of Famers on that team. That's the greatest team I've ever seen. The 84 49ers went 18-1. They killed Marino and the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. They're two. Number three are the 75 Steelers who went 15-2, beat the Cowboys in Super Bowl 10. Number four is the 89 49ers who went 17-2 and destroyed the Broncos in the Super Bowl. And then the 85 Bears come in number five. And the 76 Raiders, who were 16-1 and beat the Vikings in Super Bowl 11. They're my top six teams of all time. I think what you have to look at is how good is the NFL, the entire league. When you go back to the Steelers of the 70s, the Niners of the 80s, the NFL was strong. I mean, you had powerhouses. I don't think you have powerhouses right now. I think you have really good teams, but not powerhouses.
I agree. Yeah, and Mark,
the Bears.
That's obviously a product of the
power.
Yeah, it's product of the way the league changed, right? The salary cap. But what's interesting, Mark, as you went through that, I was just writing down the years. So just judging by your list, and then obviously however you slotted them after that, the Eagles have a chance if they do what you said and win convincingly over the Chiefs. To be right there as one of, if not the greatest team in the salary cap era, because you didn't have anyone from 94 on.
Well, my next team,
Patriots,
my next team, number seven was the 04 Patriots.
Right.
They were 17-2, then the 92 Cowboys, the 94 49ers, and then number 10, the 79 Steelers. So you're right. There's only two teams here, salary cap, the 94 49ers, 16-3. The 92 Cowboys were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They were 16-3. But I do think this team can be somewhere between 10 and 7 if they really put it on Kansas City. I have the 17 Eagle team coming in at number 21 all time. That team was 16-3. But, you know, there are some great football teams.
Oh,
man.
Of course. I mean, you kind of forget as the years go on how great teams are, and then you got to go back and like, wow, they dominated some teams.
And you have to look at the error. You know, you go to the 70s, the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Cowboys. Those teams were awesome. The 80s, the Niners, the Bears, the Giants, the Redskins. Those teams were unbelievable. So, you know, is football as good right now as it was then?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And as a whole, I don't think it is.
Yeah, and Mark, I tend to agree with you on that, right? There's the top teams aren't as great. I almost wonder as time goes on if we'll kind of separate it between the salary cap era and the like when we talk about these rankings, because like how could anyone compare to those Steelers teams or some of those Cowboys teams? They had everybody because the league was just different. Yeah.
But what makes this Eagle team so good is they're so balanced.
Mm-hmm.
They are so balanced on both sides of the ball. I don't see how Kansas City can beat them. I really don't. If the Eagles, you know, play it simple, play to their strengths, run the ball, you know, take what they're given in the passing game, and do what they can do on defense like they've been doing. And Mahomes not being, I just still don't think he's going to be mobile. Do you think he's going to be more mobile in 2 weeks?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't think he's going to run much. Like, maybe he can move around the pocket a little bit better, but I doubt it. I mean, that's a 6 week injury he has.
Yeah, and they don't have the receivers they've had in the past. I know Kelsey's tough, but I think the Eagles are so balanced. I think they can win this game easily. I really do.
Well, man, that would be amazing, Mark. Mark Aprice, I mean, if they do that, then everyone's going to put him in the list. So how about that? Mark, our NFL historian, has he has his whole list written out. I've never wrote a list like that.
Yeah, I'm not. I like lists, but I've never gone that deep into it.
I do wonder, as years go on, if we will separate, like, we'll look at the post, like, because now we're at basically 30 years of the salary cap. If we'll start to separate, almost like, you know, people talk about, like, pre-integration baseball or pre-expansion baseball. You know, it's a kind of similar time period, late 40s with Jackie Robinson coming in, and then expansion in the early 60s. Like, sometimes those lists are, like, pre-expansion, post-expansion, pre-Jack, like, all that. I wonder if the salary cap will change it, because I don't know how any team now, talent-wise, could compete with the teams before the salary cap. It just wasn't fair.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned the 78 Steelers had 11 Hall of Famers. There's no way you could afford that.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Unless you draft 11, like, in 1 year, and you'll have them on rookie contracts.
Yeah, it's different now. It's a different game. 215-592-9494. We'll come back to your phone calls here. Agree or disagree? I already put the Eagles on a pedestal where I believe we're watching an all-time great team, one of the great teams in NFL history. Are you there, or do you need to see them finish it first with a championship? We'll take your phone calls, and we got a player for you. We get the official I was wrong from Chris Sims on his podcast. We'll hear that next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Download FanDuel now and use promo code Jillio so you can bet the Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything. Money line, point spreads, who will score a touchdown. Look, I like a lot here. Props I like, but man, you can still get Hassan Reddick 30-40-1 to win the MVP. If he plays the way he has in this postseason, he can absolutely win the MVP, all on a top-rated sportsbook app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. I really like the FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. Join FanDuel today with promo code Jillio to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Jillio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard on this Tuesday night as we look forward to Super Bowl 57. My belief, we're watching an all-time great Eagles team, all-time great NFL team. Obviously, I mean, this has already become one of the great Eagles teams of all time. That's been clear for a long time. But I believe we're watching an all-time great NFL team. One of our last callers, an NFL historian, and I take his word for it. He always comes off very knowledgeable to me. He ranked top Super Bowl winners ever, right? All 56. And he thinks if this Eagles team has a big game next week, and there could be a top 7 to 10 team ever. Like, I that's how I feel about them, that they've put themselves in that mix. And I'm ready to say it right now. They're an all-time great team. Are you there, or do you need to see one more big victory in Glendale a couple weeks from now? 215-592-9494. Before we get back to the phone lines here, speaking of someone who really needed to see a lot before they changed their opinion, his name is Chris Sims. I said last week, I think it was last week, or yeah, it was right after the Giants game, that it was time to tap out, right? I mean, I can appreciate, I think we all can at WIP, doubling down on a take, just like, screw it. I'm going to say it even stronger this time. But eventually, you just got to tap out. When you're wrong, you just say, I'm out. I was wrong on that one. I blew it. Move on. There'll be other quarterbacks to debate about. So Chris Sims, he didn't really, it's like one of those like non-apology apologies, but at least he acknowledged and he's tapping out of the Hurts isn't that good conversation. Here was Chris Sims on his podcast.
You know, hey, I was wrong. Yeah, I questioned how good he was. His crap, he's definitely a top 10 quarterback in football, what he's doing. He's one of the greatest leaders in the sport. You know, you could tell even right there, he doesn't even seem like he's happy he won the NFC Championship game. He seems like he's still, you know, like chippy and like, I'm going to prove you wrong still more there to it. I love that about him. I do. You know, and again, he's done a great job as far as leading the team, making big plays, running the football, doing that. And then the way they're playing is formulated around his skill set now, to where they got something special going here yesterday.
What'd you make of the Chris Sims apology? I mean, my real feeling is he's tired of hearing from everyone at Philadelphia who's saying, hey, Chris Sims, you're a dummy.
And my feeling is he didn't apologize. He didn't admit he was wrong, because you go back and you listen to that. I know he said I was wrong in the beginning, but then he goes on and says Jalen Hurts is a great leader. Chris Sims never questioned Jalen Hurts' ability as a leader. He goes on to say Jalen Hurts is making big plays in the running game. Chris Sims has never critiqued Jalen Hurts' ability to run the football. He then goes on to say they're doing a great thing with the offense and how it's tailored to his skill set. At no point did Chris Sims say Jalen Hurts is a good passer of the football, which is, to me, the thing that he's gotten the most heat for, right? When last week he said, I would rather take Daniel Jones as a passer of the football over Jalen Hurts, that's what I have an issue with.
Yeah.
And he didn't mention it once in his apology.
No, the furthest he was willing to go was he's a top 10 quarterback, which, I mean, that feels like a pretty easy bar that he crossed this year, right? If you don't think he played like a top 10 quarterback this year, I don't know what sport you were watching. Now, if you want to, but it, so you think he even wanted, you think that was a little hedge too? Because you can make a case he was certainly top two, three, or four, or you could just say right now he's top five and not characterize it. He didn't go beyond 10.
Also, in a year where quarterback play, I think, has been down across the league, top 10 isn't that great, right? Like, how many quarterbacks had good seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I would say based on this one year, Jared Goff had a top 10 quarterback season.
I mean, look who's in the Pro Bowl right now. Tyler Huntley played like five games, and he's now in the Pro Bowl. He's been playing flag football this week.
All right, official ruling, we still hate Chris Sims?
Yeah.
Okay, we never decided what we were doing with Marash, Bonta Hill, and Joe Shasky. They banned?
I think all four of them are banned from the evening show.
All right, that's it. The next time Joe or Bonta or Sean Marash, we're not inviting them on anymore, so they're out.
I mean, you only have a couple more weeks here.
Yeah, well, okay. But we don't have to carry this to the daytime. I don't know how you feel about all this. But the other thing is Chris Sims officially banned. I wonder how many times he's ignored messages from various producers and or hosts at WIP over the last 2 years.
Oh, I'm sure he like just rolls his eyes and hits the block button and moves on with his day.
I'm sure when that list came out 2 years ago and Kellen Mond was ahead of him, I'm sure he's like, oh, these people just want to scream at me. I am not doing that. He's a dope. Steve is in Egg Harbor Township. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, as far as the whiners in New York and San Fran, we just dismantled and destroyed your team. They want to be where we are, on top, and that's pretty much what we are right now. To be considered one of the all-time greats, you got to win the Super Bowl. It's like when Golden State won 72 or 73 games, you can't consider them all-time great team. They didn't win the final that year. So, I mean, we have to win it to be considered. I think we're going to absolutely destroy Kansas City. We got the offensive line and defensive lines to do it. We had the defensive player of the year, in my opinion, who's outplayed Micah Parsons. He's outplayed Bosa, and he's going to outplay Chris Jones in the Super Bowl. And this guy is out to prove a point that he was disrespected and neglected, and I think he's done that in the first two games of the playoffs.
Well, he's been amazing, Steve. I mean, right now he's unblockable. I mean, he's as good as a pass. I think right now, you know, Parsons obviously covers guys and he does some different things, but just pure pass rusher, I would say he's the number one pass rusher in the NFL right now.
No doubt about it. There's a couple of other things that I want to say. I just can't see how Kansas City can stop us. And I believe if Gannon comes up with a situation to take Kelce out of the game, we can methodically destroy this team with our offensive and defensive lines. And I just want to say one thing about Andy Reid. I mean, I'm glad that they made it. If it wasn't for some bad calls and that horrible penalty at the end, they probably wouldn't be here playing us. But if we're going to lose, I'd rather lose to Andy Reid, because I don't care what anybody says. Since 1998, when he got here, we've been one of the best franchises in football, and he showed how you build a football team from the defensive lines to the offensive lines, and we've still maintained that through Howie, through all these years later, past the Andy Reid things, and he's still got some imprints on this team. So if we're going to lose, I'd rather lose to him.
Yeah, and I get that, Steve, and I appreciate it. I'm not thinking about that yet, the idea of losing to Reid. But yeah, I mean, Andy Reid is an all-time coach, and he's, you know, the most accomplished coach, you know, in terms of length of career and wins in Eagles history and all those title games. Like, Andy Reid was an incredible Eagles coach. I mean, we don't have to pretend he wasn't, because Eagles are going against him now. And as far as, man, this is like five or six calls tonight with the idea and like the tone of they're going to blow the Chiefs out. And maybe they will. Maybe this becomes Seahawks-Broncos. Remember how good that Broncos offense was? That was the year Peyton Manning threw for like 5,500 yards. And they just blew the doors off him. And I don't think it's – I'd be surprised. I wouldn't say I'd be shocked or completely floored if the Eagles' run game is unstoppable and they just have a pass rush that just gets to Mahomes a couple times and flips the game. So it's certainly like there's a path to that. I tend to think it's more like Eagles and Patriots 5 years ago, where the Eagles are better top to bottom with the roster, but that quarterback on the other side might make this game close.
Yeah, I mean, I can't count out Patrick Mahomes, right? The same way you couldn't count out Brady 5 years ago, really any year. But I look at this game, and unless Patrick Mahomes plays like an alien, which he does quite often and did last week, I just don't see any route the Chiefs have to victory. I really don't. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball. Not that Andy Reid necessarily likes to run the ball. And then defensively, I just, unless Chris Jones wrecks the game, I don't see how they can stop them. They don't have the cornerbacks to match up with the wide receivers. They struggle against the run. They're like 17th or 18th in yards per attempt against defensively. I think the big matchup of the game, and the one that I've kind of circled in pencil right now, is Landon Dickerson against Chris Jones.
Well, Jones actually, in terms of just getting, you know, pressure on the quarterback, I mean, it's their toughest matchup inside all year.
He had 10 pressures on Sunday against Cincinnati. Yeah.
I mean, they haven't really seen any. Have they seen a defensive tackle? I know Dexter Lawrence had a really good year, but he's quicker than Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence is more of a power player to me.
And Dexter Lawrence lines up more at nose tackle. Yeah. Chris Jones will line up over the left guard. He'll play end, too. Like, he'll be matched up against Mailata quite a bit, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's more just, like, stylistically a Warren Sapp, the way he plays the game. I mean, Dexter Lawrence is just a gigantic. But they haven't played anyone this year that good or like him.
No, and they've done well against premier edge rushers like Micah Parsons, right, like Nick Bosa. If they're going to win on next Sunday, it's going to come down to their ability to keep Jalen Hurts clean.
Yeah, and you know, clearly with Hurts and his ability to run and handle the pressure. I mean, I thought he handled the pressure yesterday well enough, or 2 days ago. He didn't take many sacks. When he scrambled, it wasn't always positive, but like it wasn't like losses, like 5 or 6 yard losses. Like I just thought on Sunday, it was pretty clear early his accuracy wasn't where it needed to be, but he just played smart. I mean, he took care of the football in a game where it was pretty obvious early, don't turn the football over, and they're not going to be able to score enough to beat us. And they did that. They did what they had to do. Mike is in Marlton. Hey, Mike.
Yo, Joe. How we doing, man?
Good, Mike. What's up?
So first, I want to tell you a cool factoid about Devontae Smith. So if he wins the Super Bowl – I'm just saying if, because I'm just been nervous. And I've been nervous, like, for every game. But if he wins, he would be one of four players to have a Heisman, a national championship, and a Super Bowl.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and those other guys, I can't tell you off the top of my head, but he would be in some elite company.
Well, I mean, just think about it. I mean, most Heisman winners don't go on to, or at least in the past, haven't gone on to these great, great, great college, I mean, NFL careers. It's kind of been a weird thing where you win the Heisman, then you don't have a great NFL career. But obviously, you know, he's on the path to it, just an amazing football career.
Yeah. And then the next thing I wanted to talk about, this is pretty much it, but I'm livid at those announcers. In large part because they really just have so many misconceptions about the fans. I went to McGillin's in the city for the game, and this guy was wearing plain clothes. The only 49ers fans in that bar, I didn't say a word to them except for, like, I'm not going to stand near you guys because I don't want to catch any of the crossfire. But this guy in plain clothes came up to me and said, oh, why aren't you giving those guys a hard time? Beat them up. Do something. And then he reveals to me, he's like, oh, but I'm a 49ers fan. I'm on my way to the game. And I was just like, and he was saying how great, like, it is to see how much that some of the fans are passionate and not jerks. And then I was also in the bar, and I met these two women from Indianapolis, and one was from Fort Worth, Texas, and they said they came for the experience. and they said there's nothing like it and how passionate we are and how great we are. And it makes me sick that all these people, analysts, whatever have you, like, we have a chip on our shoulder, and it's because people make us out to be these villains and just animals. And in actuality, we're just some of the best passionate fans in the world.
Well, Mike, you're right. And here's what bothers me about it, Mike, and I appreciate your phone call. And you're right. I just think if you put yourself in a situation, if you're willing to go to an event where it's 70,000 people, let's say, I don't know, 25,000 are inebriated, like, don't you just know you're going to run into some belligerent people? Like, is this about the city of Philadelphia, or is it just it's a sporting event? Like, you, if you go to anything with a lot of people, there's going to be some people, like when we were playing that earlier, and you know, whatever, they poured a beer on them or whatever. I don't condone that. That person's an idiot. But, like, when you get yelled at, yeah, you came into an opposing stadium wearing your jersey, your colors, you're cheering, which is your right. You bought the ticket. You bought the plane ride, whatever. But, like, do you expect no one to, like, scream at you and say, you know, whatever they say? Like, you have to be naive to expect that. It's not gonna happen.
I don't know. It's almost like inviting it. Like,
yes.
If I told you, hey, if you go in that cave, there's a lion in there, and you come back and your face is ripped off, I'm not going to feel bad for you.
Right, you walked into the Lions cave.
And also, didn't San Francisco Giants fans, like, stab a Dodgers fan outside of their stadium a couple years ago?
That's what I mean. Like, I think every single stadium, the more you pack it with 50 or 75,000 people, you're going to have incidents. I'm telling you, there's not one stadium in professional sports that hasn't had an incident. And this wasn't even that, right? We're not talking about anything awful that happened. No one got...
No, I mean, like, it's embarrassing, and I obviously wouldn't want that for those people, but I think everyone got home safe and okay.
Yeah, I just don't understand the idea of going on your radio show and complaining about it. Like,
Also, can we talk about wearing jerseys on your radio show? Like, how sad is that?
Oh, were they wearing... I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw in some of their videos they were, like, wearing Brock Purdy jerseys.
Brock Purdy, what?
I don't know if it was Brock Purdy.
I was going to say, those are made custom.
But I just, like, who wears it? Like, do you own an Eagles jersey?
I don't. I don't own any jerseys.
You're an
jersey.
Adult. You don't own an Eagles jersey.
I don't own any jerseys. Do you have any jerseys? You have basketball, right?
I have a couple Sixers jerseys.
Tucker?
No, I've been trying. Like, they don't make them.
Well,
you get one custom, but, like, that feels weird. It kind of ruins the point.
I know, but they have a starter named Tucker.
Yeah, but, like, if you go to the stadium, and trust me, I've asked, and my girlfriend went, like, around Christmas time and asked, and they're like, oh, if you go to the custom thing, we can make it for you. It kind of ruins the effect.
As just an aside, do you think they don't make his jerseys because he literally doesn't score?
100%. But, like, if you go on Fanatics, you can find
right.
Heat Tucker jerseys, you can find Bucks Tucker jerseys. It's not the Sixers.
Yeah, I don't have a
Daniel
jersey.
House jerseys, but not P.J. Tucker.
I don't have a jersey. I think if I did, it'd be pretty rare that I wore it in here for a show.
I think it's weird to wear jerseys of people younger than you.
Which I'm at the point now where almost all players are younger than
me. Which is why, like, I have, like, an Allen Iverson jersey.
Like, old school.
Yeah, or, like, Dr. J or something.
Yeah, I think if I ever got one or my family ever got one, Nick Foles would probably be the one I want. I like Nick.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Yeah,
I think it's weird to wear jerseys of people who are younger than you.
Yeah, I get it. If people out there have... I mean, I was in the parking lot the other day. A lot of people have jerseys. I don't frown upon that. But the bottom line is, also, have you ever seen anyone here wear their jersey while they're on the air?
No, that's the other thing. Like, it's just... It feels weirdly unprofessional. Like, how can you be objective, and how can you talk about the team that you're paid to cover if you're wearing another man's name on your back?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, look, we all
imagine
want...
Ray Dinger going to do Eagles post-game live
no.
with a Jalen Hurts jersey on.
No, and look, we want these guys to do well, but also, like, we talk about their flaws, too, right? Wouldn't it be weird if, like, yeah, I mean, I know he can't block, he stinks, and I'm wearing his jersey? Or, like, it's bizarre. I mean, what the bottom line is, those guys complaining were dopey. And the guy up in New York, I mean, I don't even understand what he's upset about. Why would you be upset that people are celebrating? I think you're right. It was jealousy. He's just sad his Giants lost to the Eagles. That's what that was.
Yeah, I just think, like, both times, the Eagles were clearly the better team, but both fan bases find a need to nitpick and complain and say it was unfair.
Yeah, by the way, the three other guys, it was Tony Dorsett, Marcus Allen, Charles Woodson. Heisman, national title, Super Bowl. So Devontae Smith.
Three Hall of Famers.
Devontae, he could be number four, at least on this list. That's a pretty in his second year in the NFL. Jim is in Washington Township. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Jim. What are you thinking tonight?
All right, so this makes sense in my head. I don't know how it's going to come off on the radio.
I feel that way every night, so no worries. Go ahead.
So And when we're talking about, like, athletes of the past, like, I mean, couldn't we say that Alexander Ovechkin's probably a better goal scorer than Wayne Gretzky?
And you say it, like, why? Because the athletes are better now, like, type of thing?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fault Wayne Gretzky for playing in the era he did, obviously.
Right, right.
But I'm saying, like, I think back then, the athletes, the size, everything, the padding was smaller back then. It was easier to score. So for that guy to say, like, the Eagles aren't an all-time team, like the 70s Steelers, whatever he was talking about, the Steelers, the Cowboys, like, how can you say that? Because the athletes today are better than they were back then.
Yeah, Jim, I don't think it's crazy. I mean, I'll do the same thing as you. This may sound crazy, but I think you'll understand, like, if Babe Ruth faced Jose Alvarado, Alvarado would strike him out on three pitches. Like, he never saw velocity like that. It was 100 years ago. No one could throw 103 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's the exact point I made to your producer. I think Babe Ruth would strike out to probably a college pitcher.
Right, like, he just never saw velocity like that exists now. Like, it's just different.
Yeah, so to call Babe Ruth the greatest player of all time is, I mean, there has to be a little bit of an asterisk next to that.
Right, it's almost like you acknowledge that he was the best of his era, and then you try to kind of parse that with the best of the eras we have now. I think that's the only fair way to do it.
Right, right. And like I said, it was just kind of a dumb point I wanted to make. Like, obviously, there's a lot more things afforded to the kids. Like, my son's better at soccer than I am because they have year-round training and way better trainers than we had when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. So, no, you're right. And Jim, man, I preached the phone call. It's a good point. I mean, yeah, if we're talking about athlete for athlete, all the teams now are better. I mean, they just are. You ever go back and watch the footage of the game? They were so slow. And I'm sure in the moment they weren't slow, right? They were top athletes at the time. But compared to now, like, could you imagine just pick a random good corner from 1960. Could you imagine, like, the guy would just shiver trying to cover A.J. Brown. No way.
My favorite is when you look at, like, offensive linemen from that time.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, the Eagles left guard in 1956 was 5'8", 170 pounds.
My size.
Like, he would get eaten alive today. And I do think there are some athletes who could like, if you gave Jim Brown modern technology and everything, or, like, Michael Jordan, I think they'd be able to figure it out and they'd be okay.
Sure.
But there is a point there. Like, I think things have progressed to the point, and especially in football, I think things progress so quickly. You watch a game from 20 years ago, it looks completely different. Like, I went back and I watched that Eagles-Tampa Bay game. Offense is so bad. Like, I know Andy Reid was an offensive guru. You go watch the Eagles' offense, it just looks so sloppy, well, so messy.
And that game was Gruden against Reid, two of the probably most respected offensive minds in the last 30 years. No one can move the ball.
No, it's just, it's ugly to watch. It's just, it's funny, because compared to today, I know those offenses were great back then, but today, I just, you would watch it and scratch your head and go, how is this an NFL team?
Yeah, I mean, I bet if we go back and look at the yards in that game, I would imagine the Eagles this past Sunday, and we all would acknowledge they didn't move the ball very well, right? They got stymied on Sunday. It was a tough, it was a slog. And I imagine their yards and certainly their points on Sunday way more than a lot of those teams back then. I mean, it's just the game has changed so much. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop board. On the other side, Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, will join us. What is he seeing about this matchup? Could the Eagles win in a runaway? And is this Eagles team in the mix to be an all-time great team? Will they be remembered that way? We'll discuss it with Brad coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.